The lesson today, you may title it Seeking and Saving the Lost. Seeking and Saving the Lost. It's taken, of course, from the passage of Luke chapter 19, verse 9 and 10. We are going to be asking if that passage could be read again.
And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
When you start reading, Brother Webb, I said, what visitor helping to read the passage? Thank you, brother. We were created and constituted. That is, not only did God make us, create us, but the way He composed us, fix our mind, our intellect, our body. We were created and constituted with eternity beyond here and now in mind. In other words, when God created us, after He had, in His mind, decided how to fix us, and I'm always marveling over how the different parts of our body function. That is physically. And when you think how the different parts of, like our mind, how it works wondrously. But when the Almighty God created us, here and now was not the major consideration. In fact, I may just drop along that it is a sad thing for us, you and me, when so much of our thinking and our activities and our sacrifices, so much of it is centered purely on here and now, at the expense of the hereafter. Because the way the Almighty God constituted us when He made us is that we were so fixed up with eternity, the beyond in mind. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, John 5, 28 and 29. Let us hear that passage. John 5, 28 and 29. The hour?
Marvel not at this.
Marvel not at this.
For the hour is coming.
The hour is coming.
In the which all that are in the graves.
Notice. You see, as the passage you're going to reveal, it's not just we live, die, and we go to the grave and things end there. Many men and women live as if everything ends at the grave. It does not. Jesus Christ said, don't wonder at this. Don't be confused at this. Don't be perplexed at this, that there is a hour coming when some that are in the grave.
All that are in the graves. In the which all.
What, brother? All?
In the which all.
All.
That are in the grave.
That are in the grave.
Shall hear his voice.
Shall hear Jesus' voice.
And shall come forth.
And come forth.
They that have
wait,
done.
Wait, he didn't finish there. He's still speaking on the subject that humanity was created with a hereafter in mind. Those, read.
They that have done good unto the resurrection of life,
mm-hmm.
and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Your friend, the Jehovah's Witness, says only the good will be resurrected. But then you have to determine who is right. They are Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ says, every man, all that are in the grave, which means every man, every woman who has ever died, going to come forward. And he tells you that there are two divisions. Those who have done good, and that is good measured by Jesus' standard, and those who have done evil unto the resurrection of life. May I, in sin and disobedience, man lives in a state of condemnation, in a state of God's wrath, and having eternal hell waiting at the end in sin. Mr. Mitchell, repeat that. Thank you for asking me. In sin, we live, when a man or a woman lives in sin, fail to seek shelter through obedience to the gospel of Christ. When a man lives in sin, that person lives in a state of condemnation. That's that person's state and condition. That person is always condemned. That person lives in a state of God's wrath. God is mad with that person's life. That person lives hell, eternal fire waiting at the end of his or her life if that man or woman does not obey the gospel of Christ. Watch you now, watch you now. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for our forgiveness and salvation is God's greatest and most costly work. Somebody again asked that I repeat that. I have just said that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of our sin and for our salvation, that is God's greatest work and that is God's most costly work. When the Almighty God created the vast universe, it didn't cost God anything other than raw power and wisdom. When the Almighty God created man, human being, and the animal, it didn't cost the Almighty God more than wisdom and power and knowledge. But to redeem us, to help us deal with our sin, to save us from eternal hell and eternal wrath, It cost the Almighty God His only Son. And listen, Jesus Christ, and that purpose of His. Same passage that was read, Luke chapter 19, verse 9 and 10.
And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also...
Did I said Matthew?
Luke 19, 9.
Luke 19, 9 and 10.
Yes. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.
That's what this was Jesus' purpose for coming. Everything Jesus Christ did were tied up in this central mission or purpose to seek and to save those of us who are lost, and that covers all of us. May I now? The individual Christian, if you are a Christian, this pertains to you and me, if we are Christian. The individual Christian and the church exist and were left here to carry on Jesus' mission. That's why the church is called Jesus' body. That's why members of the church, we are members of His body. Just like my hand is a member of my body. The hands, the finger, whatever, is used to carry out the purpose and the dictates of the head. Christ is the head of the church. All the members of my body are put together in an organized, intelligent way to make the body function and work effectively. When any member of my body is not functioning properly, it does harm to the body. It retards the body. So is the church. We were left here individually and collectively to carry on the work of Christ. Hence His body, our members of His body. Remember what is central primary purpose is? To seek and to save the lost. We were left here to carry that work on. Every one of us. May I? Each of us as Christian. May I? We were lit to light others. Are we all here? We were lit to enlighten others. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Matthew 5, 14 and 15.
Ye are the light of the world.
The ye means Christ followers. Did we get it? Now, that may not include you if you are not a follower of Christ. But if you are a follower of Christ, it includes you. But notice with this light, like most light, He said, you, the word ye means you. You are the light of the world.
A city that is set on a hill.
A city that is set on a hill.
Cannot be hidden.
Cannot be hid.
Neither do men light a candle.
I want us to remember this.
Do
You know who lit us? Crack. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? You are speaking in cigar speak. Jesus Christ was the one who brought enlightenment to us through the gospel. But Jesus Christ didn't want that lit, that enlightenment that he brought in your life, my life, to just rest with us. Christianity by nature can't work like that. So here Jesus Christ is spelling out, no man, when he lights a candle,
put it under a bushel.
Simple mean, in the light a candle and cover it up. Or else what the use of lighting it? Huh? You don't light light and cover it up. The very purpose of lighting a light is for it to radiate and give light and direction. Wait. Are you thinking? Because Jesus Christ is speaking to us, the Christian. No man light a candle
and put it under a bushel.
Mean you do not cover it up. You don't light light to hide the light. Read.
But on a candlestick.
Uh-huh.
And it giveth light unto all that are in the house.
You all get it, brothers and sisters? That's why Jesus Christ brought light in our lives so that we can bring light to the lives of others. And you know what? When we fail, to let this light radiate, we are going to be in a lot of trouble with God. Truly. You see, brothers and sisters, as most of us know, or ought to know, those of us who have responded to Jesus' love, it's a great blessing to be enlightened by the gospel of Christ. It is. To know, to be enlightened, to know what this life is about. That I'm not permanent here, I'm traveling to eternity. Every human being, thank God, he has helped me to understand. And he has brought me not only into contact with the gospel, but make the gospel a part of my life. I have accepted him. That's a great blessing. It's a blessing that must not be taken for granted. But brothers and sisters, we must have the conviction that the enlightenment brought by Jesus Christ and the gospel, it was never meant to stop with us. As we are enlightened, we are to enlighten others. It's like no man light a candle and put it under a bushel. You don't hide it. Christ wants others to benefit from the light he has brought in our lives. When enlightened, in fact, notice too, he put it on a candlestick. You get the drift? He hides it up. That's the idea, you know. You don't even keep it low. You keep it weird. And that is speaking to us. We must use every resource in our lives to make sure that men and women understand, one, they need Christ. Two, Christ died for them. Three, Christ wants them to be saved. Four, Jesus Christ has a plan of salvation. Simple, easy to be understood. Jesus Christ looks to or comes to each of his servants for his harvest. Mr. Mitchell, I didn't get that. I didn't know that Jesus Christ was a farmer in a sense. In a sense. So let me repeat what I've just said. Jesus Christ comes to each of us. Jesus Christ looks to each of us for his harvest. Are you producing? Look at John 15. Let us hear John 15. John 15. Let us hear verse 2.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit.
May I? You know, country, growing up in the country, it has a lot, for me, a lot of positive impact. That is for me. I mean, we those of us who grew up in rural, we learn to survive under situation. Oh my God, what a nice life. Yes, growing up in country, yes, verse 2, brother.
Every branch in me,
yes,
that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
We understand. My father farmed. And not only the branch, if he plant, eat an orange tree and it just stay there and just be a while, it never produce anything, sooner or later he cuts it down. We have a way to, when a branch doesn't seem so healthy and the farmer does all in his power to help it and it doesn't, you cut it off. That's farming. Read, brother.
And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
That is verse 2.
Yes.
Verse 5. Verse 5.
I am the vine.
I am the vine.
Ye are the branches.
You are the branches.
He that abideth in me.
He who stays in me.
And I in him.
And I in him.
The same bringeth forth much fruit.
Same bringeth forth much fruit. That is verse 5. Yeah. Let me hear verse 6 if I need anything in verse 6.
If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire.
You hear that? Then let us, okay, that was verse 6. Let us hear verse 8.
Herein is my Father glorified.
This is how my Father is glorified.
That he bear much fruit.
That you bear how much?
Much fruit.
How much?
Much fruit.
How much?
Much.
That is verse 8. Then verse 16.
Ye have not chosen me.
You have not chosen me.
But I have
chosen. In other words, it was not our initiative so much that brought us to Christ. But it was the grace of the Almighty God in Christ that sought us and found us and gave us forgiveness and salvation. You have not. What, brother?
You have not chosen me.
But?
But I have chosen you.
Watch here.
and ordained you that he should go and bring forth fruit.
Watch here now. I want you to notice this. In verse 2, it speaks about fruit. In verse 2 and 5, it speaks about much fruit. Am I right? Both verses, verse 2 and verse 5, much fruit. In verse 5 and 8, it speaks about more fruit. Let us hear verse 5 or somewhere there, or verse 6.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit.
Much fruit, that's verse 5.
Verse 5.
Read.
For without me ye can do nothing.
Read.
Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, verse 7, my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit.
That you bear
much fruit.
Much fruit. But then, verse 16, I want you to notice something about verse. Because verse 16, may somebody say, Brother Mitchell, what does it mean by fruit? Good question. Remember in the Bible, fruit can refer to the Christ-like quality produced in our lives through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Are we all there? But also refer to the Christian reproducing him or herself. Look at verse 16.
Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Watch here. I have chosen you that you may go
and ordain you that you should go and bring forth fruit.
May I? Go and bring. You notice that? This is definitely evangelism. You go and bring. Let's talk about soul winning. You go and bring. How much?
And that your fruit should remain.
How much you bring, brother? Go and bring.
They should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain.
You hear that? So here we have, in this one passage, we have in verse 2, fruit. We are in verse 2, more fruit. We have in verse 5, much fruit. We have in verse 8, much fruit. We have in verse 16, go and bring. We know that that is evangelism. Look at a passage that even people who are not Christians are well acquainted with this passage. It is the passage of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19.
Go ye therefore.
Go ye therefore.
And teach all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
May I? You have been told this many times that go you, therefore. Literally, when you take the literal original Greek, it's really as you go. And somebody said, does that make any difference? It makes all the difference. Wait. The passage there in the original, and many translations translate it like that. Not go you therefore, go ye therefore, but as you go. What is the idea in this, which is the literal original? This means, you know, you think of putting things together and go on a particular mission for Christ. Nothing wrong with that. But this now means that this is tainted with the idea that as you go about your business in the community, in the city, in the world, as you go about your regular business, you must be involved in evangelism. That's this one. As you go, teach. As you go, go you therefore. But Brother Mitchell, I'm not an apostle, I'm not an evangelist. You can hide behind that in this statement, as you go. No, go you therefore. With this one, once you go, once you go, Jesus Christ is saying, teach. Anywhere you go, teach. To whomever you go, teach. Under whatever situation you go, teach. That is, as you go. You know what? That includes every one of us. Are we all there? The entire Bible. Did you say the entire Bible, Brother Mitchell? Yes. The entire Bible, Old and New Testament, has much to say about the individual reaching out for God, the individual sharing God's truth, the individual being evangelistic. But Brother Mitchell, you say both Old and New Testament. The Old Testament was not evangelistic. Israel were not meant, the Israelites were not meant to go and convert the Gentiles. To a great extent, you are right. The Almighty God chose that one nation to preserve His name and to preserve certain degree of wrong and right, that is morality in the world, so that Jesus Christ would born into a world not totally void of wrong and right. A world that at least would know some that there is a true God. The Israelites were chosen for that. So when you think that, I'm here telling you that both Old and New Testament was evangelistic, and you say the Israelites did not have that as their mission to reach out to the Gentile, you're partially right, but you're also partially wrong. Listen, these passages. The first one we go to only give a general principle, but it's one of the most dynamic passages in the entire Bible on evangelism. A sermon within the next few months will be brought forth from that passage found in the book of 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. We are taking up only verse 9 because, as I've said, the entire incident a lesson, and the Christian responsibility will be brought to shears with us here in a lesson within the next few weeks, few months, whatever. Let us hear the passage. Verse 9.
Then they said one to another.
The brother is reading from the book of 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9. The context of this verse is very rich. And I repeat the third time that there will be a full sermon brought to bear on our conscience to motivate us to open our eyes. Let us hear it, brother.
Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings."
Wait, take time with me, brother. Take time with me. Brother Mitchell, why don't you just preach that sermon right now? You know, I'm tempted to. You know, they say, who are they, Brother Mitchell? These were men who were sentenced to death. That's right. Within a short while, they were sentenced to death. And they are here talking, "We do not well." Why, brother? Read.
"This day is a day of good tidings."
Wait. Let me capitalize. Good. Day of good news. This day is a day of good news. And what, brother?
Good tidings. And we hold our peace if we...
Wait, take time. Oh, Lord have mercy. You see what I see? No person with any degree of proper thinking can hold his or her peace when you have good news. You ever notice when something good happens to your life, you want to find somebody to share it with? That's the nature of good news. Truly. You may not share it with everybody, but when something good happens to us, we want to find either a family member, a good friend, to share it with. That's the way good news is. May I? There is no good news. Brother Mitchell, it's better. I know that. There is no good news than that Jesus Christ died to save us. That's the best news that has ever come. Beside, these lepers says, "This day is a day of good news, and we hold our peace." Those of us who have benefited from the gospel of Jesus Christ should never, in fact, if you are really converted, you cannot hold your peace. Read the rest of that verse, just that verse.
"Until the morning light, some mischief will come upon us."
You hear, Brother Wilson? That if we wait, oh my God, Brother Michelle, are you preaching that sermon? No, I said in a few weeks. So let me stop right there, sir. Let me stop right there, sir. Because, you know, a powerful passage. If we wait until tomorrow. Oh, Lord, let me just leave it be. Because, as I've said, a full-length lesson will be taught. And not just the verse, the whole context, ladies and gentlemen. We must not hold our peace with the gospel of Christ. Huh? Did I say the entire Bible? All our New Testament has much to say about individual reaching out and sharing God's truth or being evangelistic. The passage in the book of 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 9 just read is but one of them. Here is another one, Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. Let us hear it, brother. And let us run down a few of these passages. We're not going to be dealing with them in any detail. We just want you to understand that the Almighty God in all and New Testament speak plainly about the responsibility of those who have been enlightened to enlighten others.
The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned.
Brother is reading from Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4. The Lord God has given me
the tongue of the learned.
Tongue of the learned.
That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary.
You hear, I love this passage. Isaiah said, God has given me the tongue of the wise, the learned. That I may know how to speak a word to the man or the woman that is weary. That is the man or the woman who needs an encouraging word. The man or the woman who needs hope. The man or the woman who needs to know that he has not been abandoned by Christ. We, the Christian, are the one to give him hope. Isaiah said, God has given him that tongue. And he will give us if God sees that that is our desire. That is but another passage. Here is another one found in the book of Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. And this is a passage that I need to expand more on, but time will not permit. Very important passage. Proverbs, the wise man, chapter 11 and verse 30.
The fruit of the righteous.
The fruit of the righteous.
Is a tree of life.
Is a tree of life. When the righteous man or woman's action going to bring life. Huh? The righteous man or woman's word. Going to bring life. Read, brother.
The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
And he that winneth souls is wise.
Did I hear you right?
And he that winneth souls is wise.
But Brother Mitchell, this is Old Testament. How it talks about win soul. Mine no said that is there yet. That is way back in the Old Testament. He that win soul is
wise.
He that does not win soul is
unwise.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. He that wins soul is wise. But let's run to another one. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 and 3.
And many of them that sleep in the dust.
Wait, this is talking. This is Daniel. Way back. 500-600 years before Christ. This passage, the entire context is talk about the coming of Christ. But we just take up verse 2 and 3 here. Let us hear it, brother.
And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall
many
awake.
Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth
shall awake.
Shall awake.
Some to everlasting life. And some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Isn't it enlightening that even in the Old Testament here, this passage is looking beyond the Old Testament system. It's looking in the time of Christ and the gospel and beyond. And telling what will happen ultimately to men and women who do not respond to God's grace in Christ. Brother Webb, please read it again.
And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake.
Uh-huh.
Some to everlasting life,
mm-hmm.
and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise...
Wait now. Take time with that. And they that be wise...
shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Y'all hear that? What version are you reading?
The King James Version.
That was Daniel. That was verse 3.
Yeah.
Just read verse 3 again.
And they that be wise
uh-huh.
shall shine as the brightness of the firmament.
They shall shine as the brightness of the firmament.
And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever.
You get the drift? Those who engage in evangelism and soul winning, they will shine like the stars forever and ever. That's what the passage is teaching. And here the Almighty God from way back then is attaching special blessing to soul winning. We will be going to a New Testament passage that bears this out. What we are doing is just traveling through the Bible and shows that the entire Bible speaks of the blessings and the command and the expectation of God that His people engage in enlightening others. Wait. It should not be an accidental thing. Huh? You pray about many things. We are to. When you and I, who claim we are following Christ, when we have important undertaking, you know what we do? We pray about it. And we are expected to, and that is wise. You are quoting, and that nice young lady make your heart palpitate every second. You pray that God will help both of you to become husband and wife. Because that young man you are quoting, or young lady you are quoting, is important to you. Person bring you joy, fulfillment, happiness. You pray about it. You have been unemployed. You made application and you are called for interview. In fact, if you are not careful, you spend all night a fast and pray. Because you want that job and you go to God for it. And that's right. You have been sick and the doctor says there will be a surgery. And the doctor gives you all the assurance that it is not life-threatening. But you know what? You still want God's intervention. So you pray. Huh? You do the right thing. Do you pray to God about soul winning? Do you pray to God about soul winning? Because those things that are important to you, you pray to God about them. Is soul winning, leading others to Christ, is important to you? You would pray about it. And you would put thought and effort in trying to make sure you do it the right way, just like you do to other important things. Because, wait, you see, a lot of times, by our very action or inaction or attitude, we confess to God our interest, our lack of interest. Five, 9 and 10 again.
Let us hear it, quick. 5.
And in Luke 10, verse 5.
Chapter 5, verse 9 and 10.
For he was astonished, and all that were with him. Luke chapter 5, verse 9.
And 10.
For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken.
Read.
And John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not.
Fear not.
From henceforth thou shalt catch men.
Lord have mercy. Country as a way of giving your education, some of it is not so nice. So this term was used in the country in not such a nice way. So I'll stop there. That's right. So Jesus Christ said to the apostle, you have committed your life to catching fish. Now, look on my power. Look what I can do. And Jesus Christ performed a miracle. But that miracle had a goal or an objective. Because Jesus Christ now is about to commission them to engage their time, effort, and talent in a more important, a most important mission. And that is not catching fish, but catching men. Catching men for Jesus Christ. We need to be engaged in that work too. Every child of God. Move on to another passage. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 21. 1 Corinthians 5, 19 through 21. We're just running through the Bible to show you that evangelism, individual responsibility to take Jesus' truth to others is our responsibility. Let us hear. Did I say 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9 through 19, 17 through what? Let us have it. Read.
For though I be free from all men.
Okay. You're reading from verse 19?
Yes.
What verse are you?
19.
Okay, read, brother.
For though I be free from all men,
God says, though I be free from all men,
yet have I made myself servant unto all.
Watch here now. I made myself servant to all men. He's going to tell you in what way. Listen now.
That I might gain the more.
That I may
gain the more.
Gain the more. Read.
And unto the Jews I became as a Jew.
And to the Jews I became as a Jew.
That I might gain the Jews.
That I may gain the Jews. Watch here. Some translation say win. Read on. that I also act to those who are under the law, I act as if I am under the law,
that I might gain them that are under the law,
that I may win them that are under the law. Read.
To them that are without law.
To them that are without law.
As without law.
I act as without law.
Being not with law to God. But
young Wilson, you see your wise part is there. You can't let somebody leave with the idea that the pastor said he's Paulus had hands at the Old Testament, six of them anymore. But when he reached this point, that to the Gentiles, that is those referred to in the verse you are reading, I think it's about verse 20, somewhere about there. He's pointing out that to them that are without law, Paul says, I act as if I'm without law. But then, lest you get the wrong idea, and people love to get the wrong idea, he said, I am not without law to God. He acknowledged that he's under the law of Christ. You see, read on.
But under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law.
May I point this out, brothers and sisters? In all these cases, the word gains means with all that Paul is mentioning here, from verse 19 right down to about 20-21, he's telling you, all this I am doing to win these people to Christ. And what the man is pointing out, I will do whatever it takes to lead a person to Jesus Christ. That should be our attitude and disposition. What verse did you start?
Okay,
start there then. James chapter 5, verse 20. James 5, 20.
Let him know that he which converteth the sinner.
Start again, brother.
Let him know.
Let him know.
That he which converteth the sinner.
He who? Any man, any woman, any brother, any sister that convert a sinner.
From the error of his ways.
From the error of his ways.
Shall save a soul from death.
You save a soul from death and...
And shall hide a multitude of sins.
Everybody heard that? This is James. Says when you arise, save a sinner. The death here is not physical death, you know. Because that sinner going to die. The death under consideration here is eternal death. The eternal fire. When you and I save a man, and this is why you should take greater, more aggressive concern, interest in reaching out to men and women for Christ. And there are many ways, don't be here saying, but Brother Mitchell, I can't preach like you, I can't teach them like this brother or that brother. No, you know what God expects of you? Do what you can. But you know what? Take interest in learning to do more. There are many ways. When my car doesn't have a fuel religious track in it, I quickly make note in my mind that when I get either to the office or the home, wherever I have them, put a fuel in the car. Because that's one way, one of the ways that we do it. And that is not just the responsibility of the pulpit. It's the responsibility of every true, I say true, children of God. If you have conviction, and if Jesus Christ means anything to you, you should have conviction. Jeremiah said that his word was in me, burning like a fire, and I could not hold back. That's conviction. Last but not least, for me, among the greatest honor bestowed on a child of God, a Christian, is that of being referred to or called co-worker or fellow workers with God. Say it again, Brother Mitchell. among the greatest Hannah that is bestowed on a child of God, a Christian, is when the gospel refers to the Christian as a co-worker or a fellow worker. Watch here. With God. Worker with God. Yes. It's the time you and God has engaged in the same activity. You know what I find interesting? We have come to the close of the lesson. This is the last point. Not that the lesson is finished. You know what I find interesting, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen? The two passages in which this statement is used, I find the context quite interesting. One of the passages is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 3, and verse 9. The other passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. Let us hear 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9 first.
For we are fellow laborers together with God.
We are fellow. Here it is time. The human laborer in a special relationship with God. That means God is a part of the labor. And you, his servant, you are also a part. And you and God are doing the work. Listen, the other one now. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1.
We then, as workers together with him.
Here again. We then, as workers together with him. That is with Jesus Christ. Huh? Here is no greater Hannah. Huh? But do you know what I find, brothers and sisters? The two times the statement is used about human, God's servant being a worker with God, the context surrounds soul winning. I find that most awesome. The context surrounds soul winning. It's like the writer is saying that when we engage in leading others to Christ in an awesome way, we become co-worker together with the Almighty God, and we engage in an important work in a special way. Brother Mitchell, what do you mean by context? In chapter 3, verse 9, look from verse 6 to verse 8. First Corinthians 3, 9. Look from verse 6 to verse 8. We are taking up the context.
I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Don't move yet, brother. I plant, Apollos watered. You know what he's talking about here, young Wilson? And one day you and your brother, since your daddy know how to preach. And your brother will be up here. You know what that is? I plant, Paul is saying, I preach the word. Apollos go and reinforce it. Or I preach the word, men and women became Christian, Apollos go and preach to encourage and strengthen the Christian. I plant, Apollos water, But the Almighty God is the one who produced the increase. This is talk about soul winning. This is the context from which he's going to talk about where to work us with God. Read on.
So then, neither is he that planteth anything.
So then, neither is he that plants, nor he that watereth anything. But it is God who gives the increase. Read on.
Neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. No, he that planteth, and he that
who plants the seed, that's the word, and he who waters, they are the seed. Read on.
And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor.
What verse is that?
Verse 8.
It is out of this context of talking about evangelism, the person who goes and preach the gospel that men and women became Christian, another person comes after him and preach and talk to encourage and strengthen the Christian. This is about soul winning. It is in this context that we are told that we are co-workers with God. Listen to the other passage, chapter 5. The other passage was 2 Corinthians 6, 1.
Watch it. 2 Corinthians 6:1.
Okay, we start at verse 1 in chapter 6. But I'm going to tell you now to get the context of this. You have to turn to chapter 5 from around verse 18 or 19. Let us hear verse 18.
And all things are of God.
All things are of God.
Who hath reconciled us to himself by
Jesus
Christ.
Who hath reconciled us to himself.
By Jesus Christ.
By Jesus Christ.
And hath given us.
Take time with me, dear brother. And hath given us the.
Ministry of reconciliation.
The ministry of reconciliation. It is when men and women obey the gospel of Jesus Christ that they are reconciled to God. The passages talk about soul winning. God has given us the ministry. I am right now engaged in the ministry of reconciliation. When you go and teach men and women, you are trying to bring them back to God.
To wit, that God was in Christ.
God was in Jesus Christ
reconciling the world unto himself. Not impute. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. And hath committed unto us the word. The word of reconciliation.
Reconciliation. Every time you hear the gospel, it is the Almighty God appealing to you to be reconciled. Every time you and I, as children of God, try to convert that co-worker, that neighbor, that friend, we are engaged in the ministry of reconciliation. You must stop, Brother Rita.
Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us. Beseech you by us.
We pray you
in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
Together with the Almighty God. In soul winning, we are co-workers with God in a special way. Jesus Christ said, I came to seek
and to save the lost. Christian, as we come to the end of this lesson, not the end really, but as I stop here, it's not good for us to feel safe, secure, and content with our salvation alone. In fact, it's one of Satan's deceptions.
Thank God I have obeyed the gospel, I'm a child of God, and you do not hear that the other man or woman out here is going down the road of destruction. You are not safe in the sight of God if you are concerned only with you being a Christian. You should have as much concern about the other men and women who are not saved. It's not a good or healthy spiritual sign for you to feel safe, secure, and content with just your salvation.
We are going to sing an invitation song. One, it gives you, if you are in this audience, not a child of God. The last passage read has to do with beckoning to you to be reconciled to God. You and God are
estranged. You are separated. What causes estrangement? Sin. The passage just read is beckoning to you to be reconciled and come back to God. That is possible only when you give Jesus Christ a chance to deal with your sin, to faith in repentance from sin, confession of his name, and getting baptized for the removal of your sin. You can do that this morning. Right now, the path of disobedience and unbelief is taking you to eternal destruction. Right now, you can give your life to Jesus Christ.
This morning, you can step forward and be reconciled to God. And Christian, I remind you that if you are content, comfortable with just your salvation, it is a bad sign.
Very bad sign. You should be as concerned with the salvation of the other man or woman. You know why? Because the Almighty God has placed it within your power and ability that He has brought to truth and life. The Almighty God expects you to take that life and shine it so that others can see the wrong path they are going and the right path they need to go. Christian, we can and we are to put better for Christ and the gospel. Too many of us feel too comfortable that we have become Christian. There's more to come from this lesson and other lessons on this subject right now. As we stand and sing, if you have a need to recommit yourself to Christ, what better time to do that now as we stand? 227.